Okay, Rabbi Moshe, hope all is well. Today's daf is Bavakama Daf Mem Hey, last full daf in the fourth parak of the Masechta, and we're here at the bottom of Mem Dalet Amud Beis at a brand new Mishnah. We have two Mishnah, one Mishnah here, and then another Mishnah on Amud Beis, right? And then we're not going to finish the parak today, but Mitzvah Shem tomorrow, we will get there. So it says the Mishnah here on Mem Dalet Amud Beis, four lines up. If you have a shore that is going out to be stoned, and what that means is basically they had a gemardin, they had a psakdin that the shore is going to be killed, right? And that point, right, is becomes asur behana. And then after that point, right, vekdishu bailov, and the owners are like, no, we're not going to kill it, we're going to donate it to hekdash. So then the Mishnah says, enu muktosh, that doesn't count. Shachto, if he shechted it after the psakdin, so then besara asur, as we did before, right, that the meat is going to be asur. Vim ad shelo gamardino hekdishu bailov muktosh from shachto besara motor. I is usually akasha. Right? But on the other hand, right, if it was before the gamardin that the shore was made into hekdish or it was shechted, so then everything's fine and the hekdish works. Right, and the meat is mutter. Master the shomer chinam l'shol nosi socher l'socher. Right, there are four types of shomrim. We'll have to go through the rules of those in a moment. Right, as we get to the end of the Gemara on this Mishnah. But if you gave it over to any of those four shomrim, so then nichnasu tagas habaylim. Right, then they are instead of the baylim, they become the owners. Now, if you look at Rashi, mischayvim benizakin kebaylim. Right, they become the owners in terms of nizikin. Right, muad mishalim nezik shalim, v'tam mishalim chasi nezik. Okay, right, we'll have to discuss that. Tanar baylim olam din rabbis. It says the Gemara. Shor shehemes ad shalunig mardino. Right, and when a shore, right, really should be shore shehemis, comma, right, a shore that killed somebody, right, and again, it stands to be put to death. So, actually, Nigmardino, before they made a psakdin and based in that you're going to, not shechta, but you're going to stone it. So then, if machor, if you sold it, then it's a good sale. Hekdisho, if you made hektish, muktish, then it works, it's hektish. Shechto, if you shechta, then besaro, mutter. Right, and then the meat is kosher, right? Everything is fine. Hechziro shomer the beis habaylov, and if the shomer returned the ox, then mukhsar, then it's considered as if he returned it, no problem. But mishanig mardino, but if after the psak din happens, so then it, right, it becomes at that point asur b'hana, right? It's as if it doesn't, right? It's almost taken away from the whole concept of ownership of bailim and etc. So therefore, machro, if the owner sells it, eno mocher, it's not a valid sale. Hekdisho, if he's makdish, it's then eno muktash, it's not hekdish. Shachto, if he shachted it, besaro, aser, the meat becomes aser. Hechziro, shomer, the base ba'alov, and if similarly, if a shomer returns it, so then eno mukhsar, that's not considered to be returned. And even, you know, so then he's going to be, that's going to be a problem. Right? He's going to have to pay for it. Right? Rabbi Yaakov, Omer Rabbi Yaakov says, Af, mishinig, but you know, hechziro, shomer, the ba'alov, mukhsar. Rabbi Yaakov, though, disputes the last din and says that even if a shomer returns a shore to the owner after the gzardin that the shore has to be killed for killing somebody else, that's considered as if, right, he returned the shore to the owner, right, and he doesn't have to pay for it, and that's, you know, he's absolved of that chiyuv. So lema b'hakam lefki, what's that machlokas? Right, so maybe the machlokas is like this, that the rabbanan savri ein omrim bi suri hana hareshel chalafanacha. Now, can you say, again, the concept of hareshel chalafanacha, right, can you return an item here, this item is yours? Let's say, for example, usually that halacha comes up by the case of stealing, but also obviously comes up over here by the case of shomrim, for example. Let's say you, I don't know, you steal someone's bottle of wine, yeah? And then, you know, a year later, you return it to him, right? So he says, here, so that's it, hereshel chalafanacha, right? That's yours, right here, you can have it. Let's say it depreciated in the meantime, but still, right, you still have the original bottle of wine. Okay, you stole it was worth 100, now it's worth 50, but seder, but as long as you didn't damage it via dime, and it just happens to be, you know, market value went down, right? So that's hereshel chalafanacha, that's that concept, you can just return it, you know, here's your item that I took. Obviously he has to tshuva, etc., maybe compensate him if there's some sort of value loss that he didn't have wine for a year, I don't know, but you can return the item in question. So maybe the machlokas is that the rabbanan hold, right, in omer b'suri hana hareshel chalafanacha, that if the item becomes asur b'hana while you still own it, let's say, like while the shomer has it in his possession, let's say in our case, or let's say the thief has it in his possession, and it becomes asur b'hana in the middle, maybe you can't say that. Maybe you can't be like, here's your item enjoy. Instead, you have to pay for it. Rabbi Yaakov says, maybe Omrim Bisuri Hana, Rachel Chalaf Hanacha. Rabbi Yaakov would simply hold that no, it becomes Asher Behana. Right, again, then what's happened in this case? The cow, right, he borrowed a cow, or Shomer was watching a cow, and it became, the shore became Asher Behana in the middle, because it killed somebody. Now it's going to be, you know, Paskin, it's going to be sent, it's going to be stoned. It's going to be Asher Behana. So Rabbi Yaakov says, you can give it back. So maybe he holds that by Isur Hana, if an item has become Asher Behana, you can still return the item to them and be like, hey, it's yours, not my problem. Samar Rabbi says, no, the Kuli Alma Omrim Bisur Hana, Harishal Chalafanecha, really, everybody holds, you can do that. Right, the Imkain, because if they actually argued about that, Niflug L'inyan Chametz B'Pesach, right, they should have a Machogas with regarding Chametz on Pesach, i.e., let's say someone stole Chametz before Pesach and then gave it back to him after Pesach while the guy still held it, and therefore it was Chametz Shavu L'Av Pesach, which is Aser. Now, that's not just a stam random example. Why did they argue about this? That's a reference to the Gemara later towards the end of the Masechta, where everybody basically agrees that a person is able to do that. So basically, I mean, they should have had this machlokas, meaning that they should have had this machlokas, right? That you know, that over here, that they should have argued over there. But the everybody agrees that the ganav is allowed to return the chametz after the pesach. So must be, what's the machlokas over here? Machlokas is local, right, to shomrim, to watching over this shore. So what's the machlokas? The machlokas is whether you can have an actual legitimate gemar din without the shore. Right, around, right, without the shore, let's say here in front of us, what in the world is that? So the Gemara explains, right, the Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold in Gomrim Dino Shel Shor Ela Bafanav, that you can only have a court case of the shore, right, while it's there. The Amrle, and the owner could say to him, Ida Hadrita in the Hale, if you had given me the shore, have a Ma'akrana Leila Agma, I would have sent it out to the swamps, meaning it would have hidden it, right, and they wouldn't have been able to have a court case. It wouldn't ever become Asur Behana. Again, that's we've mentioned this kind of phrase before. It's a very weird havamina. Like, what do you mean the owner would have done something that's inappropriate? Right, you're supposed to bring the shore to Beis Din. Okay, whatever. Either way, so hashta at pashte l'tarai biyada dolo yichalna liyistai dina behedya. But now, right, you've given the shore basically to someone who you can't take to Beis Din, meaning you've given the shore over to Beis Din, right, and therefore, right, you messed me over, basically. And that's why, you know, giving the shore over to Beis Din, that's going to be a problem. So therefore, right, the Chabim say that's not going to work. The Rabbanan say that's not going to work, and you can't just, you know, kind of give the shore back. Because the shomer kind of did something to mess up the value of the shore to cause it a loss. Rabbi Yaakov says no. Gomrim dino shel shor shelo b'fanav. You can have a psak din for a shore if it's not around, and therefore, right, the shomer didn't do anything, and you can just return it to him. But the amar leik, you can say to him, so if mikmar have a gemiri ledina, Rabbi Manoshach, regardless of where the shore was, right, they would have finished the court case and paskin that it was chayav mises. My time with the rabbanon. Why did the rabbanon say that you have to have the shore in attendance, as it were, shore, because the Pazik says, again, we've done this before, you must, you have to stone the shore, and so too, the owners, you have to compare the two. Both of those cases have to be similar. When you have you're judging a person for death, and you're judging a shore for death, they have to be the same. Just like the person has to be standing there in Beis Din, so to the shore. So Rabbi Yaakov says, "Bishlama b'ilim b'nei tainan." Rabbi Yaakov says, "What are you talking about? Right? The only reason you have to have a person there when you're judging whether to put himself to death, right? That's because we want to make sure that if he has some sort of claim to free himself, he can say it. He can pipe up. He can talk for himself. Now the shore bartanazu, but a shore. What is a shore going to do? A shore is not going to start claiming. If I had only known, right? The shore is just standing there. So there's no reason to necessarily have the shore there at all." Okay, Masur, Chinam, Shoal, etc. We said if you give it to any one of the four Shomrim, so then they become the Bailim for the damages. Tanar, Rabbanan, one of the Braisa. Arba, Nechlis, Utachas, the Bailim. Again, these are the four Shomrim that become in the place of the owners for the shore. Elohim, Shoal, Chinam, Shoal, Nasir, Socher, Vasocher. Those are four cases of Shoal, Chinam. If someone who's watching a Shomer that's unpaid, Shoal, someone who borrows it, Nasir, Socher is a Shomer that is paid, and a Socher is a renter. So Hargu, Tam in there, again, Ptura Mina Kover, right? If the shore then kills, the Tam obviously gets killed and doesn't pay Kover. Again, that's standard Alachos. Muadim, right? The shore Muad, right? Naragim, Misham, is a Kover, right? That the shore gets killed, then the owners pay Kover. But Chayav and Lahagzir, to make sure Labailov, And all of them have to return the value of the shore to the owners, chutz mishomer chinam, except for a shomer chinam. And we have to just, again, just to, well, the Gemara is going to question that in a second, but just to go over the halachos quickly, right? A shomer chinam, right, is only chayev for pshia, is only chayev for negligence, right? But he's not chayev for any other scenario. Where the item in question, let's say that here the shore gets damaged, the shomer socher and a socher is chayev for gneva aveda, right? It's chayev for if the item gets lost, right, or if it gets stolen. And shoel, a borrower, is chayev even for onzim. It's chayev even in a case, right, where there's some sort of unforeseen, you know, damage that happens to the shore. So again, so then the Gemara just said. Right, and again, if something happens to the shore, everybody's got to pay back the owner, right, for the value of the shore, except for shomer chinam, right, who does not have to pay, i.e., he wasn't posheya. So the Gemara says, "Amri hechidami." So what's the case that you're going to split, right, the other three shomrim and the shomer chinam, right, on the other three shomrim, which they have to pay for it, and the shomer chinam, on the other hand, which does not have to pay for it. Hechidami. What's the case? He didn't netzrei. If the shomer guarded and watched over the shore, right, afilu kulhu nami li padre, right, all of them, right, should be padre, right? Why should the shomer sakar, right, with anybody else? If he guarded it, he guarded it, right? No one should be padre. No one should be chayev. Vida lo natre, and if he didn't guard it, so afilu shomer chinam nechayev. Because even the shomer chinam, who's chayev and pshia, right, if he didn't guard the shore, so that's pshia, that's negligence, right? So then everybody should be chayev. So Amri, so what's the case over here? That you're going to split shomer chinam with pater and everybody else is chayef. So Amri, they said, hachamai skin in the case is, did natre shmira pechus over lo natre shmira meula. Case is when he did a minimal shmira, didn't do a great shmira. So shomer chinam calls a lo shmira. So right, all he has to do is do some basic minimal shmira to that he's not negligent with the shore. So therefore, he's not going to be chayef. But Hanach lo calls a shmirasan. But if all of those other cases, right, the fact that they're chayev in all those other cases, in cases of theft and gneva aveda, right, and if it was got lost, right, that indicates that they have to do a better watching than the shomer chinam, right? It just doesn't comes with obligations. So they were lacking in their shmirah, and therefore they're going to have to pay. Amrei kaman. So the Gemara says, one second, who is this like? Now this is just a preface, a little bit. This is machlokes between Rabbi Meir, right, and Rabbi Yehuda, which we've quoted, but let's just quote it again, by a shor mu'ad, and we're going to darshan out from Sukkim today. We're going to show the source for this machlokas. Rabbi Meir says that you have to guard a shor mu'ad, right, with a shmira ma'ula, as we said before, like with the best type of shmira. I haven't really defined that in the past. The Achronim and the Rishonim talk about exactly what does that mean, the best type of shmira, right? Just the pashtas, one approach is that a basic level shmira is that, let's say, you lock the door, and therefore in a ruach metzuya, a regular wind, is not going to open it. And a shmira ma'ula is if you lock the door, and even a hurricane-type wind, right, would not knock it down. Okay, right, obviously, several approaches to that. But let's go by there. So Rabbi Meir says you have to guard a shor mu'ad with the shmira ma'ula, with a good, right, the best type of guarding, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're yotze with a shor muad with even a shmir b'chus, a basic level of guarding. So the Gemara says, what's going on over here? That you guarded the shore, right, with a shmira pechusa, with a mediocre, right, the basic, the minimal level of shmira. So, come on, Rabbi Meir, if it's Rabbi Meir Shita, so the problem with that, right, is dama shomer keshomer chinam dami, that Rabbi Meir says that a socher, that a guy who rents the item, is the same halachos of a shomer chinam. It's just like someone who is not a shomer, who's not paid, not like a shomer socher, like I explained before. Rabbi Meir holds that a socher has the same halakha, a renter is the same halakhos of a shomer chinam, and therefore, right, you should have grouped them together. And if that's really true, chutz mishomer chinam ve'asocher, if it's really Rabbi Meir, right, so then you should have said that the ones who are pater, the shomer that are pater from paying, is a shomer chinam and a socher. Be Rabbi Yehuda, but if it's Rabbi Yehuda, damar socher kenosi socher dami, who holds that a renter, as we usually assume that a renter is like a paid shomer, right? Nisni chutz mishomer chinam. You should have said, except for shomer chinam, v'chum b'mu'adim b'tarim b'inim kofer. But then maybe you should have said all the shomrim, any type of shomer, are going to be potter from kofer in the case where it is shomer mu'ad, because again it was a shomir p'chusa, it was a lesser guarding, and then Rabbi Yehuda holds that that's fine. right, that that's enough for a shor muad. So Rav Huna bar Chinuna, Hamani Rabbi Lazar. So Rav Huna bar Chinuna says it's actually a third sheet that's Rabbi Lazar. To Amar ain lo shmira elasakin, that there is no shmira. Forget shmira, mula shmira chus. It doesn't matter. A shor muad can only be watched over, right, if you shecht it. And that's the only way, obviously, that he won't do any damages. So that's why we're going to have to say that the Shomrim are going to be chayav for kofar, even though they were minimally guarding the shore. You know, the Ulin and Socher, Sober like Rabbi Yehuda, right? And in terms of a Socher, in terms of Renter, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, because Socher, Kenosi Socher, Dami, is just like a Shomer Socher, a Shomer that gets paid, right? And therefore, right, they can group those together, and that's exactly what the Bryce did, and that's fine. Abaye Amar, Abaye says, Lo Olam Karbi Meir. Really, it's Rabbi Meir. Who else that you need to do a Shmira Me'ula? Ukudim Machlech Rabbi Baravua, Detani, Socher Ketza Mishalim, and it's just like Rabbi Baravua, right, taught the following, that a Socher Ketza Mishalim, how does a Socher pay? Right, Rabbi Meir, Omer Keshomer Socher, and Rabbi Yehuda Keshomer Chinam. Rabbi, keep on losing the place over here. That Rabbi Baravua, right, is the one who flipped it around. And really, it's Rabbi Meir says that a renter is like a Shomer Socher, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's like a Shomer Chinam. So therefore, again, that's fine, because then again, Rabbi Meir, if he's telling me it's Rabbi Meir, but the whole problem with Rabbi Meir is that he should have grouped the Socher with a Shomer Chinam. Well, if you hold it, Rabbi Meir holds that a Socher is like a Shomer Socher, and therefore it grouped it, then the Brisa actually grouped it together accurately, right, then everything is fine. Okay. Weiter. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Masar Shor Shomer Chinam, Hizik Chayiv, Huzak Potter. If you give, Rabbi Elazar says, if you give a shor to a shomer chinam, right, if it damages, right, then the shomer is going to be chayev. But if it got damaged, the shomer is potter in the sense that he doesn't have to repay the owner for the damages. They said, "Heichik damer, what's the case? He did kabbalah shmir and nizakov. If he was mekabbalah upon himself, that he would watch it over from damaging. If he loses gnami lechayev, well, if the shor himself got damaged, the guy should have to pay the owner." And if he didn't accept upon himself to watch the shore, right, for any damages or whatnot, he's a shomer chinam after all, right? How much watching does he have to do? He's not getting paid, so he shouldn't have to pay even if it went and damaged somebody, Rava says, "Lo olam shkibal lav shmiras nezakov." Really, he was mekabel, right, shmir upon himself. How come I asking? The case is, "Kion shehiker bo shehug nagchan." Right, he realized that it's a goring shore. Again, we said it's a middle level here between tam and muad. That if it's still a short tam, but it gores, so you have to be more careful about that. And basically, you normally, right, normally he realizes the shore is not going, right, to damage other people. So, but that, again, that he's going to make sure, but right, that he'll accept upon himself not to let the shore go damage other people, because again, it is a nagchan, it is a goring shore. But that's a chinu maskile. But if there's someone else to come maskile today, but if someone else is going to come and damage the shore, then lo asa gadaiti. So that he's not thinking about, right? If it's a goring shore, he's thinking about protecting against goring other people, not necessarily, that it may get damaged himself. So therefore, he's not accepting upon himself for responsibility. Then he would not have to pay the owner. Okay. Kashu b'ilu b'moseira. And again, the Mishnah, again, we can have this machlokas that we talked about before. What type of time, the Gemara will talk about what type of shmira do you need by shor muad. So kashu b'ilu b'moseira, if you tied the shore with the moseira, the regular reins or rope or whatever, you locked na'al b'fonav, right? You locked the gate in front of him karoi properly, meaning in the proper in the proper way. Right, if you look at Rashi, Hainu Shmira Pechusa, I kind of ruined it for you earlier, but this is basically the basic level of guarding, is that a door that can last, right, in a normal wind. So in that case, V'yatzav Hizik, if it went undamaged, so in Echad Tam Echad Muad Chayev Div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says you're going to be Chayev in both cases, because you hold that you're getting, obviously he's going to hold, you need to have a Shmira Me'ula, you need to have a better Shmira by both a Tam and a Muad. Rabbi Yehuda says that Tam Chayev and Muad Potter, that ironically that Tam is Chayev, right, because you didn't guard it enough, but a Muad is Potter because you did guard it enough, even though that's a Shmira Pechusa. Shnei Bar Zbalik says, V'lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav, right, again, says by Shor Muad that the Shor was not guarded. I have a Shomer Huzeh, and this one is guarded, meaning you darshan's out from that pasuk that you just need a minimal guarding, and you did that, so then you're going to be going to be potter. Rabbi Elazar Omer Ein Lo Shmir Lasak, and again, this is what we said a moment ago, that for sure Muah, the only way you can guard it against damaging, right, is to shecht it, obviously, and then it's not going to damage, and therefore, if you guarded it with a Shmir Ma'ula, even in that case, you would be chayv. Says the Gemara. My time is Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Meir's shita? What's his reason? Because he holds stam shvarim la bechaz v'shimur kaimi. Right, he holds that normally shvarim, right, oxen, right, are not normally guarded. Right, people usually allow right oxen to walk around. But rachmana tam nechayiv the niboy leishmir bechusa. The Torah says that a short time if it gores, right, is you're going to be chayiv for that because you need to do some sort of basic level of guarding it. Hado Amar Rachmana. Then the Torah said, "V'lo yishmerenu gabi muad." Then the pasuk says that the shor muad wasn't watched. Then he boyle shmir mula, because then I mean implying that you needed another level, and it's chayv to have the best type of shmir possible. V'yalef negicha l'tam negicha muad, and then you can have a gzer shava to connect the two, that you need to actually do this shmir mula, right? This better type of shmira, right? Both by a short time and a short muad. Rabbi Yehuda Sabra, Rabbi Yehuda's Rabbi Yehuda holds, he holds the opposite. That Shtam Shvarim Bechezka Shimukami, that most people watch over their Shvarim. And most people lock the door to the pen, you know, to the ranch. Amrachman, and the Torah says, Tam Nishalim, and then when the Torah says that a short time should pay for damages, then you boy the Shmir Ma'ula. That seems to imply that you need to do an even better level, right, of guarding, because after all, right, you were lacking in some way. If most people watch guard their shvarim in a normal way, and then your chayef for the damages, it must be that you were lacking in some way, that you really should have done a shmir me'ula, right? A much better way of guarding. Har Rachmanas, and the Torah then says, v'lo yishmer no gabi muad, right? The fact that it says the shor muad damaged because the owners didn't guard it, denavid le shmira me'ula, right? Implying, meaning saying that you need to have a greater level of shmira, but that's something that's like it's almost a double positive. We don't have such a thing in English, really, or in math, right? But that's like a double positive. It's an inclusion after an inclusion. And when you have an inclusion after an inclusion, that really limits. That's only like subtraction, right? Two positives make a negative, and therefore mi'ad akasa v'shmir mu'ula. Therefore, the Torah is excluding the shor mu'ad, right, from needing a high level, right, of shmira. And if you tell me negicha the tam negicha lemuad, right? So if you tell me that you should have again this gzeir shava, as we said before, that Rabbi Meir uses to compare the two gorings, right? So hamiyat rachmana v'lo yishmarenu v'zev v'lo la'acher. The Torah had said, right? The Torah says v'lo yishmarenu, right? You didn't guard it, right, by shor muad, right? Implying that only by shor muad, right, that you have this miut, that you don't need a high level of shmira, and that's not true necessarily by the time. I've a mebayle lelav, but don't you need that positive to teach me of the lav? This doesn't mean isser, but it means that if you don't watch over the shor muad, then you're going to be with a shmira meula, then you're going to be chayev. That would kind of flip it over, right? That would be two positive, be a third positive. Right, it would make it into right a positive, meaning that you really do need to have the shmir meula. So you know, in Cain, if that's true, nichtav rachmana v'lo yishmor. Right, because if that was what the Torah wanted to teach us, it should have said v'lo yishmor. My v'lo yishmor renu. Right, what did it say? You did not guard it, meaning specifically this, i.e., the topic at hand, which is the shor muad. Right, v'lo zev v'lo la'acher. Right, only for this, right, and not for that. Right, I mean only for the shor muad and not for a short time. Okay, we're going to hold it here and we'll finish Mitzvah Shem the parak tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this. May we be zochot here, b'soros tovos, and yeshuos. May our learning be a schus for all of our soldiers and all of Am Yisrael. May we see the bias gold tzedek b'meher v'yameinu. Amen.